Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you today? Good to see you. So let me in the room, just by show of hands, if you think the Rams are going to win tonight, let me see your hands. All right, if you think the Bengals are going to win tonight, let me see your hands. If you have no idea who's playing in the Super Bowl, let me see your hands. All right. Hey, I told you last week, hey, you guys look great. Some of you wore your jerseys and everything, and I hope you are having fun. I hope you've tried your, I was going to say try your hand, but tried your foot at the field goal attempt outside. If you do, do it at your own risk. Some of you might want to stretch a little bit beforehand, okay? But glad you're here. And I told you last week that, as most of you know, I love Atlanta, but I am not an Atlanta Falcons fan. I am a New Orleans Saints fan. I know. I got a couple of saved people in the house. I hear you. They're saints for a reason, you know. I know, dad jokes. They still work. Listen, but I told you, even though that I would not wear my Drew Brees jersey this week, but I want to give a shout out to Maddie Ogle, who is wearing a Drew Brees jersey this week. I'm living vicariously through her. It's been a big year for sports fans here in Georgia. I mean, Georgia Bulldogs are national champions, right? And the Atlanta Braves are World Series champions, right? That's right. And I would be remiss to not let you know that the current reigning national champions of college baseball are the Mississippi State Bulldogs. I just need you to know that. It's the first national championship we've ever won, so I'm going to say it anytime I can say it, okay? That'll be the only time I say it in this sermon, though, okay? But I'm glad you're here. Today we're going to talk about the power and the importance of teamwork. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 42 through 47. And we're going here because this is right after Jesus has ascended and gone into heaven, and what he has done is he's instructed his followers to go into Jerusalem to wait until, the Bible says, they are endued with power. And so the Bible says while they're in the upper room, they're praying, the Holy Spirit is poured out on them. They pour out of that room and go into the streets, and they begin to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. 3,000 people are added to the kingdom that day and saved. And then immediately following that, we find ourselves at verse 42 that describes the church and how the church began to act and how the church began to operate. So in verse 42, it says, they, the church, those who had accepted Jesus Christ, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you for the worship, the true worship that came from the heart during our time as we sang songs of praise and worshiped you. And I pray that you would anoint this time together, that you would anoint the words you've given me to say as they go forth. You would truly anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, so that you could accomplish your perfect will in our lives. And Lord, we will give you all the praise and all the glory for all that you've done. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen and amen. I was looking this week, and I know there's a lot of debate that you'll have for me, and please don't send me emails or text or anything else. I was looking at some of the greatest teams that have ever existed. I realize that this is based on data, and this is probably my personal opinion, so I'm going to share these things with you. And if anyone here is asking about, okay, why didn't you mention Alabama Crimson Tide football? I don't like them, so I'm not mentioning, okay? I can do that. Seriously, keep your emails to yourself, okay? Some of the greatest teams I came across. The Boston Celtics of the 1957 to 1966. They won 9 straight NBA championships and won the championship 11 out of 12 years. That is hard to even comprehend. In the WNBA, at the onset of the beginning of their the league, from 1997 to 2000, the Houston Comets won four straight WNBA titles, and they thought there would never be another dynasty in that that even compares to them, until 2011 to 2017, when the Minnesota Lynx won four championships and made six WNBA finals appearances playing for the championship. The Green Bay Packers, from 1961 to 1967, they won the NFL championship 5 out of 7 years. Three times they were the NFL champions, twice at the initial inaugural first two Super Bowls. UCLA Bruins men's basketball team. John Wooden's team won 10 championships in 12 years, including 7 championships in a row from 1964 to 1975. Has not come anywhere near that. The Connecticut Lady Huskies women's basketball team. 4 straight NCAA basketball championships, and get this, a 111-game winning streak. A 111-game winning streak. I would also be remiss to let you know that it was the Lady Bulldogs of Mississippi State who broke that winning streak. There's a reason this is my list. This pains me to say, but I have to give credit where credit is due, because I don't like this team very much. The 1927 New York Yankees. I've marked every pagan in the room. I saw you. 1927, 111 wins in 154 games. Babe Ruth hit 60 home runs in the era of what they call the dead ball, which means it was harder to hit home runs based on the makeup of the ball. As a matter of fact, he hit 60 home runs. His total was greater than 12 entire Major League Baseball teams. Lou Gehrig hit 373 with 47 home runs and 52 doubles. And they were in first place every day of the season until it was over. Unbelievable. Only to be topped by the 1996 to 2000 New York Yankees, who, this is my list. They won 4 World Series championships in 5 years in an unprecedented postseason run led by Derek Jeter. But the greatest moment in sports history, and this is my list, right? The greatest moment in sports history was one that gave hope to people who had lost hope, and an entire city, an entire metropolitan area had lost hope until this moment. Watch it.
A lot of room in right center. If he hits one there, we can dance in the streets. The 2-1. Swung line.
Everything about that video is epic, except the guy in the pink shirt. Everything about it is epic. And why is that the greatest moment for me? Because for years I had been a Braves fan, and for years we had lost, with the exception of a couple of lucky runs in the early 80s that amounted to nothing. And then that moment came. That moment when they were against the Pittsburgh Pirates, who were the perennial favorites. The Braves weren't supposed to be there. And it turned out that that moment turned a franchise around. It was the greatest, worst to first, and the first time it ever appeared in Major League Baseball. A team had finished from worst to first. They won 29 games more than they won the previous year and won the NL pennant and went to the World Series for the first time since they had been in Atlanta, and began a series of 14 straight division titles. They appeared in 5 different World Series and won 1 World Series title and changed the perspective. If it wasn't for those 96 to 2000 Yankees, they would have been the dynasty of the 90s. It was unbelievable, and it turned it around. And the remarkable part about it was they weren't as talented as everybody else. They weren't supposed to be there. but their team operated at a different level. You see, when we talk about teamwork, I need to give you a definition of what teamwork is. Teamwork is the combined actions of a group of people with a shared goal that is more efficient and effective than actions taken individually. Combined efforts, but they're greater than individual efforts. If that's the definition of teamwork, then the greatest team to ever exist is not the Yankees, and it's not the Bruins, and it's not the Celtics, and it's not anybody else. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. And the reason for that is it's greater than any other collection of people because of the goal that it has. The shared goal that they have is to tell the world about Jesus Christ and let Jesus transform their lives and transform their world and transform their communities and their families. And God's church produces greater results than anyone else can individually. And as we look at verses 42 through 47 in Acts chapter 2, and we look at the church as it was initially founded, what we find are the goals that we have and the things that we can accomplish through the power of collectively coming together and letting the Lord join us together in purpose for his glory. I want you to notice four things about that as we look at this. The first one is this. Notice that they have, and we're supposed to have, a greater and a growing faith. That's the first thing I want you to see, a greater and growing faith. In verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. And if you want to mark in your Bible, circle that word fellowship there. That's important. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. So it's not just they focused. They devoted their lives to these things. They gave their lives to these things. And a couple of these things is the breaking of bread. And this moment of time, it's talking about communion. It's talking about remembering the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It's talking about prayer, not just individually, but corporately coming together, praying together. Because you can pray individually, but also when you pray collectively, there's power in that. It's the reason why we gathered yesterday on second Saturday here from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock yesterday. And dozens of people showed up here and we prayed together. And it was such a powerful moment that set the atmosphere for today and the ensuing weeks. I invite you, if you're not a part of it, come next month, second Saturday. We always meet here 8 o'clock. And I want to invite you to that. There's power in prayer. But the first two things that it talks about is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Now, this is what I want you to see about this. The important part of this is the apostles' teaching is so important because they did not have at that moment in time the New Testament. They didn't have the Gospels. They didn't have a written record of what Jesus had done. And so the apostles were the ones that went around telling people, the ones who had been with Jesus the entire time, they went around telling people and describing all that Jesus had done, who Jesus was, and what their lives could be if they surrendered their hearts and their lives to Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. That's what it means when it talks about the apostles' teaching. It's talking about the gospel. Now, I want you to hear me. Today, we have tried to redefine that or misapply that in some circumstances. Just because a person puts a title of apostle or bishop or anything else in front of their name doesn't make it the apostles' teachings. Just because they have a title, it doesn't mean when they talk about their opinion of another denomination or their opinion of another church or their view on political things, that is not what the apostles' teaching is. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God who willingly came to this earth, who gave his life as a sacrifice for your sins and for my sins, who was crucified on a cross, who was raised from the dead, who ascended into heaven and today is making intercession for us and is preparing a place for us in eternity. That is the apostles' teaching. That is the gospel, and that is what the church is centered around. And they gave their lives to that, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. The reason I wanted you to circle that is fellowship is not what we, if you've been around the church anytime, we use the term fellowship in different churches in a lot of different ways. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, we've alliterated it sometimes, you know. Join us for fun, food, and fellowship at some gathering, you know. That when we think about that, we go, oh, just get together, let's have a good time. That's not what the word fellowship means in the Greek, in the original language here. What it means is, it means a relationship. a mutual participation, a partnership, one where we share our gifts with one another. I bring my gifts to the table and they are shared corporately and collectively with the community and with the church so that Christ can ordain it, Christ can anoint it, and Christ can use it for his glory. So here's the news I have for you. Every gift, every ability, every talent that you have has been given to you by God, and it has been designated by God for you to use it for his glory. And there's no insignificant gift. God wants to do a redemptive work with every gift that you have. If that work is teaching, he wants to use it. If it's singing, he wants to use it. If it's holding a door, he wants to use it. If it's teaching a class or working with students or working with kids, he wants to use it. And he doesn't just want to use it, he wants to redeem it for his purpose and his glory. And there are no small and insignificant gifts in the kingdom of God, because when God anoints it, it becomes great and accomplishes purpose. Some of the folks that serve here, they serve here on what we call our guest services team, which literally serve to set the atmosphere of this place before people walk into the worship center. One of those is Teresa Willis. She says, I love serving on the guest services team, and although I currently serve at the front desk, I don't think it would really matter to me what area of guest services I was at, as long as I had the opportunity to welcome people and hopefully help them feel connected and glad they came to Mount Perrin North. Pastor Jason reminded us that before a guest hears a sermon or sees our beautiful building, they see a guest services team. I think this is one of the things that gives me a sense of purpose. I feel like I'm an important piece of a bigger picture. What I do is small, might feel insignificant to some, but I know that each Sunday, God may bring someone through our doors where a smile or a friendly greeting will help them feel comfortable and be more open to hearing what God might be speaking to them in the service. I especially love when we have first-time visitors with children. I get to walk them over to our kids' check-in, tell them how much they're going to enjoy our children's ministry. One surprising thing to me that has brought me joy is the people I've gotten to know and love because they stop by to get a cup of coffee and just talk. I've heard a lot of testimonies of the Lord's faithfulness just by being available to listen. Serving has helped me feel more connected to the body of Christ at Mount Perrin North. It's truly a joy. I know this is something God has put on my heart because it really bothers me if I think we might not have someone serving in a certain area. Knowing that I'm being faithful to do the thing God has called me to do brings me great joy. When you use your life for God's purposes, even the gifts that you might think are small and insignificant, what you discover is that purpose is found and God uses you to bless others through your gifts. I want you to listen to me. Every single person in this room, you have a gift, and God wants to redeem it. God wants to use it for his glory. And if you're not allowing that, I encourage you, get plugged in. Let God use you. You say, I don't know what my gifts are. I don't even know how God might use those. Listen, I'm going to encourage you. If you need help finding that, every month we offer a class called North Life. It helps you discover your spiritual gifts and your passions and helps you find a place where you can get plugged in if you'd like to. And listen, here's the thing. You say, well, you know, if I try something, I feel like I'm locked in. You know, you're not signing up for a year's worth of service, okay? This is not the military. We're not getting 4 years out of you here. Try it. See if that's where your passion begins to ignite. If that's not it, try something else and see if your passion ignites. But don't let your gifts sit dormant. Allow the Lord to use them. The first thing is a greater and growing faith. And what I mean by that is when you serve, you get to see how God operates, not on a book level, on a one-on-one basis. And you get to see other people grow and get to be a part of that. The second thing is this. In the church, when we combine our efforts, there is a greater generosity than we can do by ourselves. I know I talked last week on money. I'm not going to talk to you about money and responsibility and all that. I do want to let you understand something, though. How much changes when we begin to collectively combine our resources for the purposes of God. Here's what verses 44 and 45 said. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. This is not, you don't read this, and God's not asking you to sell your possessions, your property, anything. If he does tell you that, do it. But this is not where you go, oh, well, you know, I should probably go find something to sell. That's not it. This is a radical change in people's lives where they realize this stuff doesn't belong to me, it belongs to God. And then they allow God to use it for his glory. There's what's a term that's called, we use it in business a lot, it's called synergy. It's where the collective sum of combined efforts is greater than the sum of the individual parts. Synergy literally means working together. It's been around, that word's been around since the 17th century. But we use it a lot to show the power of working together. So would you like to celebrate for just a moment? Let me tell you some of the things that God has done because of you and because of your faithfulness and how he's combined those efforts to accomplish things that I couldn't do on my own, you couldn't do on your own, but together God has somehow used it for his glory. Because as individuals and as a church, we're not supposed to be reservoirs, we're supposed to be conduits. Blessings flow in and blessings flow out, right? Do you know that 3 years ago, we were getting prepared to launch the vision of kind of redoing everything around here, the worship center, all of our spaces out here. Some of you have been around long enough, you remember what the old spaces used to look like. I share this with some people because some of you have been here in the last 3 years and this is just all you know. But we renovated all these spaces, all of the exterior, added the fireplace lobby out there. And you know, for 8 months, we were up in the gym while all of this was being redone. And while we were doing that, we were asking God to provide the resources for that, knowing that it was going to be substantial. And what we're trying to do is say, Lord, if you know, you can provide everything you need to provide in this. So we had someone come in, a consultant come in with us, someone very familiar, very trustworthy. Some of you may know Dr. Mark Rutland, who knows this church very well and was a part of this church in the 1980s and has been a consistent friend and confidant of this church and mine as well. We brought him on as a consultant, and he looked at our financial, and he said, wow, well, let me just tell you, your church is very, very generous. And he said, so here's what you can anticipate. You can anticipate probably raising in 3 years, you can probably raise about $4 million. He said, the top end could be $4.5 million. He said, that's where it is. And so our trustees took that amount and said, okay, based on what we're gonna cost, we can probably raise that amount, and it'll take about maybe 10 years or so to pay off the rest of it. Can I tell you, God didn't send $4 million through you, and he didn't send $4.5 million through you. He sent $6,335,000 through you. And now we're not on a 10-year track. We're on about a 5-year track to get rid of all indebtedness. And God can eliminate that anytime he wants to. But you couldn't do that alone. I couldn't do that. But God can do that. And our missions focus, Pastor Brett's talking about next week, we're going to start bringing back short-term mission trips. Can I just tell you something? We have missions presence in 18 countries. We have 13 different kind of missionary families that we support on a substantial level. We also have 101 ministry partners in those. And because of that, now, you can't do this. I can't do this. But God allows our partnership to do this. In 2021, 7,345 churches were planted across the world through our ministry partnerships. Amen? 340,000 people said yes to Jesus across the world because of our partnerships. That you can't get the gospel to all those people. I can't, but God can through the collective efforts of the church. And our local outreaches, 798 people at Mount Perrin North last year served in our outreaches outside of our church. And these outreaches are places like Men and Women of Acts, who once a month will go around and they will go and they will fix and repair things at people's homes, single moms, widows, elderly. We have a partnership with Lockheed Elementary, where we are able to fix things and spruce up the campus and provide different things for students there that otherwise couldn't happen. We have a partnership with Must Ministry. Must Ministry is a fabulous organization that feeds the hungry and provides homes for and provides housing for the homeless. And through that partnership, we are able to provide meals for students during the summer and during the breaks that otherwise wouldn't get a meal. We're able to provide backpacks and school supplies. We're able to provide coats. We're able to provide Christmas gifts through our Marietta Community Outreach. And do you know, through Mus Ministries last year, I don't know if you were here that Sunday, we showed the video, but because of what you do and what you give, we were able to partner with Mus Ministries in their brand new establishment, their brand new ministry center for the homeless. And in that homeless center, for the first time in Cobb County, not only are they going to be able to house the homeless, they're going to be able to have families and bring them together as a family unit. And we were able to sponsor for $25,000. We sponsored and outfitted and provide all the furniture and everything needed for that so families can come and stay together even though they're in a place where they're homeless at that moment in time to transition into a more stable environment because of what God does through the church. A few years ago, God laid on our hearts the tragedy of what goes on in Atlanta, that Atlanta is one of the hubs in the world of sex trafficking. And we began to get plugged into different ministries like Wellspring and Table on Delk and House of Cherith. And through these ministries, we're able to support them. And victims of sex trafficking are able to come out of that lifestyle and bring their children, learn a skill and a trade, be housed, be taken care of, and then through one of our partnerships is able to literally set aside down payments so that they can purchase a house or get an apartment and get out of that lifestyle because of that. Because of the partnerships, see, you can't do it alone and I can't do it alone. Mount Perry North can't do it alone, but God's church is bigger than all of this and he allows us to partner together and you get to be a part of that. When I started adding together the sum total of the monies that came into this place and then went out of here to the local outreaches, nationally to plant churches around the world, to disaster relief that's going on, and to world missions, do you know that last year, because of the generosity of this church and the blessing of God, that $1.2 million went in and went out to serve somebody else in outreach, in local ministry, and in world missions. Amen. You can't do that alone. I can't do it, but God can do it. That's the beauty of the church. You can take your small, insignificant gifts that you think are insignificant in abilities and maybe even monetary, and God multiplies them and puts a redemptive purpose to them. A greater and growing faith, greater generosity. The third thing is greater joy in community. Greater joy in community. Verse 46 in the first part of verse 47 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. You were created for community. You were created to break bread together, to enjoy each other's company, to be with glad and sincere hearts, to go to church together, to meet together, to do life together. You know, at the very beginning, I gave you a list of great teams. Just a couple of weeks ago, one of probably the greatest quarterback that's ever played, Tom Brady, don't like him either, but got to give credit where credit's due. He retired, and they asked him what he's going to miss. And the first thing he said is the most common response of any great athlete, men or women, when they retire from a sport. And he said, what are you going to miss the most? He said, I'm going to miss my teammates. I'm going to miss the camaraderie. I'm going to miss the locker room. I'm going to miss the plane rides. I'm going to miss the bus rides. It wasn't the practices, it wasn't the games. That's what I'm going to miss the most. Because we're made for community. At the very beginning, when God created man, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. You're made for community. One of the great, great testimonies I read just a couple of weeks ago is from a young lady named Sherry Fiddleman. She says, I've been attending Mount Perrin North for almost 5 years now. In the past, I've gone through some tough times with small groups. Growing up in another church's youth group, I felt hurt as year after year of opening up to a new youth pastor to have them suddenly leave. And the enemy would whisper to me, they don't really care about you. If they did, they would stay. It's because of you and the youth that they leave. Who would want you? And like most lies, when you listen to them long enough, you begin to believe them. Finding a small group was always tricky. My insecurities and past hurts would let doubt grow. My walls became too high to let anyone in anymore. So making the connection with community was very hard. Pastor Kirk says the community is very important, and it's so true, to have those Christ-like people in your life to pray with you and support you. I was tired of loneliness and listening to the lies, so I set the past hurts aside and started looking to connect again. I prayed for months for God to show me where he wanted me. And then he showed me a life group here at North. These girls have been an answered prayer for me. They've welcomed me with open arms, prayed with and over me, made me feel loved, welcomed, and wanted, and even showed up at my surprise birthday party. The leaders almost didn't make the group thinking who would want to come. We might not have enough to make a group, but 8 of us showed up every single week. All of us have said how this group has answered prayer. She says, I'm so thankful for my girls, my prayer warriors, my sisters in Christ. God showed me that through them, it's safe to trust again, that I can let my walls down and trust people with my heart again. Everyone needs community. And community is a place where you can be vulnerable, but you can also be safe. I'm gonna tell you something. The world offers you a counterfeit. Let me say it this way. Social media offers you a counterfeit. You say, are you anti-social media? I have accounts, and I'm not on them that much. I'm not trying to bag on all of them, but I'm telling you, stop putting your worth in the opinions of the world. See, social media will offer you vulnerability, but they don't offer you safety. I had a longtime acquaintance and a friend of mine who's recently become somewhat famous, known. This past week on social media, he posted something, and it was, he has a large family, 8 kids, and he said, he was sitting and took a picture of his son, sitting in a booth, and he said, with my schedule, and with an extremely large family, he said, rarely do I get time alone with this one. And he said, even though I don't eat like this or eat at this place anymore, he said, he wanted McDonald's. So we came to McDonald's, and I just got to spend time with him. And there were places that people that said, oh, that's great, love that. There were also some responses that said, hey, you know what? If you're really hungry, you can eat a salad. Another said, if you really cared about him, why would you be taking him to McDonald's? Now, let me ask you something. Was that what that post was about? Food choices or spending time with his son? Listen to me. Social media says, share. Go ahead and share. Come on, be vulnerable. Put yourself out there. It'll be okay. And there are people who are nothing but demonic trolls out there that will try to tear you down. That is not community. That is a false sense of security. But God created you for community. And there is a place in biblical community where you can be vulnerable with other people, you can be accepted by other people, and they will listen to you, and they will love you anyway, and they will walk with you through your difficult times, and they will celebrate with you during your wonderful times, and you will do life together. That is biblical community. And at Mount Prayer North, those are encompassed in life groups, and if you're not part of one of those, get involved in a life group. Find you a group of Christian brothers and sisters in Christ that will come around you and love you and allow you to be yourself and be vulnerable and be safe at the same time. Because in community there is joy. Don't settle for a lousy substitute. That's what the church is for, is to give you community, Christian community with Christ at the center. And then the final thing is that we have a greater eternal impact than you can ever imagine. The last part of verse 47 says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I mentioned a moment ago what the most common response is when athletes retire. Do you know what the second most common is? I'll miss competing for a goal or a prize. Because that's always been that purpose. Here's the truth. You were made to compete. You were made to strive for something. But many times we're striving for the wrong things. And if you don't strive for the right things, you will strive for the wrong things because you don't sit idle. You strive for something in your life. And the question is, what will you spend your life working and striving for? There is no greater goal or prize than seeing people redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, to seeing lives transformed. Listen to me. The greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life is Jesus. Why would I not want other people to know that? Why would I not want other people to experience that? That's the goal. That's the prize, individually and corporately. That's the most important thing. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy them. Treasures in heaven aren't gold and silver or anything like that. They're redeemed souls. That's why it's important. There's a reason why. Listen, there is a reason why that we give an opportunity at our worship services for people to receive and say yes to Jesus Christ. Because it matters. Because the goal of the church is that the Lord may add daily those who are being saved. And the goal is to see heaven enlarged and hell emptied. There's a reason why we do certain things around here. And I'll tell you why. And some of you, you're so gracious, but some of you may think sometimes, well, you know, sometimes why do we trend a little younger? Here's the reason why. Give me this stat by George Barna. 97% of people who accept Jesus will do it before the age of 30. And Jesus told his disciples one time, look out onto the fields. They are white and ripe for the harvest. The harvest is right there. Open your eyes. Now go get the harvest. It's important. The other things that we do at our church, they're important. Community is important. Serving is important. But can I just tell you something? Nothing's more important than people finding Jesus. Nothing. And last year, through our worship services, through our outreach, through our student ministries, through our kids ministry, 477 people said yes to Jesus here at Mount Perrin North. Amen? It's worth celebrating. Why is it so important? Because the church is a reflection of Jesus. And Jesus changes lives. There's one final testimony I want to share with you. And it's so holistic. It talks about every facet of the church. And it's from a young lady named Sadie Smith. She said, when Mount Perrin North came into my life, I'd only lived in Georgia for 10 months. I was church hopping and in need of real community. I was first introduced to Mount Perrin North when I was working at a Topgolf as a server on the weekends. I remember crying on my way to work that night out of loneliness, asking the Lord for community. I got to work and I found out they had scheduled me an event. I didn't want to work an event, but decided to make the best of it. When I read the event paperwork, I assumed it was a church group. The event was for Mount Perrin North, graduating seniors as a celebration. I remember meeting Drew, asked if he was the youth pastor. Everyone was so kind and friendly. I really enjoyed serving them. And I started opening up about my story and how I'd just moved to Georgia and was looking for a church and community, that I'd been church hopping, didn't feel any of the current churches as home yet. All of the leaders were so welcoming and invited me to church. I was living in Marietta, so I was super surprised and glad to hear that the church was in Marietta. I decided to attend the following Sunday, and I met up with Drew and Emma, who openly offered me to sit with them. I continued coming back because everyone was so welcoming. And it felt like the church actually wanted to get to know me and cared that I came. The first three services I attended, I cried. The sermons hit every spot in my heart that the Lord was working in. I started attending the young adult ministry and started making friends. Every time I would try other churches, I felt drawn back to North. It was the kindness and welcoming way that I felt like a part of the family that kept me coming back. Even through trials, the community of the church wanted me to stay and supported me through them. The following fall, I joined a life group with women my age and really started making friends to do life with together. This year, at the start of 2022, I felt the Lord calling me to serve in the church, and I made the decision to start serving the high school ministry, which I feel ties the whole story together so nicely because that's how I first met North. From the minute I attended Mount Paran North, I've always felt welcome and like I belong. I have more community at this church than I've ever had anywhere in my life, and I've really grown in my faith because of the friendship and community. North truly changed my life and my time here in Georgia, and I'm so thankful to all the friends and community I've made. I definitely call Mount Paran North home and feel like family. I know it's where I belong. Listen to me. There is a place in God's kingdom for you. Wherever you feel like you are right now, there's a place where you find community and purpose and hope. This church isn't a perfect place. If it was, I messed it up when I came here, okay? But we serve a perfect Savior who takes imperfect things and works them out and puts his perfection in them. You need a team. You need a church. You need a purpose. You need a place to call home. More than that, there's a team that needs you. There's a church that needs you. Mount Paran North needs you. And God wants to fulfill his purposes in your life through his church. I'm telling you, it's not for you to sit on the sidelines. It's for you to get plugged in and discover everything God has for you through his church. And some of you I want to speak to right now. Because before you can ever find a church, you need a Savior and you need a Lord. The community of Jesus is based on the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and lordship of Jesus. It's the reason why we exist. And everything about this is spiritual, but I'm also kind of a practical, common sense guy. Anybody know what I mean? Pastor Brett read from Philippians chapter 2 earlier. And it seems to me that if one day every knee, including yours and mine, every knee is going to bow in heaven, on earth, and under earth. Every tongue, including yours and mine, is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why not do it now and enjoy every benefit with the Lord of the universe fighting for you instead of you fighting against him? Today's that day. This is your time. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? If that's you, you know when you came in this place, things weren't right between you and the Lord. But you say, I want to make a decision to follow him right now. I just want you to sort of pray something like this in your heart. There's nothing magical about the words. Just mean this with sincerity in your heart. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you've done. I recognize that you are God. I recognize that you're the Son of God, that you're the Lord and Savior of all. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins, of the way that I have lived in the past. And I pray that as you forgive me of my sins, I'm asking you to be the Lord and leader of my life. My life doesn't belong to me anymore. I give it to you. Lead me through your word. Lead me through your spirit. What you say matters and what you say goes. And this day I will never be the same because of what you've done. And by faith in the room and those that are watching at home, would you just profess this and say, Jesus, I give you my life. Come on, everyone. Jesus, I give you my life. Now, with your head still bowed, eyes still closed, I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not here to call you out. I want to pray for you this week, but this is important. If you know when you came in this place, things weren't right between you and the Lord, you say, I'm making that decision to follow him for the first time or the first time in a long time. Today's that day. I want you to be bold and raise your hand so I can pray for you this week. Will you do that? Hold it up really high for me just for a moment. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. Yeah, amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you that lives have been changed and redeemed because of Jesus. I pray that their lives right now, that as the weight of sin is lifted off their shoulders, I pray that the joy of the Lord would invade their soul, but also the hope that comes with it, that they now have a purpose in this life, and there is a future and a destiny that awaits them, both in this life and eternal life to come. And God, we thank you for that. For every decision that was made, we celebrate because there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. And in these next few moments, Lord, as you speak to people, and we take these next few moments to pray one for the other, one of the greatest privileges that we have is to be able to pray for each other. The collective power of prayer together. As we worship together in song, Lord, and as our prayer team comes, for those that are going to come forward that have needs, I pray that you would bless our time together and anoint our prayer together so that we may lift them up to you and put our hope and trust and faith in you. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. I want you to stand with me, please. As we worship, our prayer team is going to come down front here. One of our greatest privileges to pray for one another. If you have a need this morning, whether that's a physical need, a financial need, emotional, relational, whatever that need is, as they come forward, I want you to step out while we're singing and let someone pray with you and give that to the Lord right now. Let's believe together, let's pray together, and let's worship together right now. These altars are open. Come.
You bore so I could live in the freedom you died for, and now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. So we sing, worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Praises to him in this place today. Full of honor, full of glory is your name. We give our lives to you, Jesus. We surrender
As your glory fills this place, you alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names, be exalted now in the heavens. As your glory fills, amen. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names, be exalted now in the heavens. As your glory this place, we want your glory.
You alone deserve our praise.
You deserve.
You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens. As your glory fills this place, you alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names.
Be exalted now in the heavens. As your glory fills this place, you alone deserve all my praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens. As your glory fills this place, you alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. You're the name, Jesus, above all names. We sing our praises all to you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy, Father. Who is like you, Lord? There's no one like you, Jesus. Just give him your praise today. Be exalted on our praise. Be exalted on our worship, Jesus. Be exalted on my praise. Hallelujah. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve.
that your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. In the name above all names, be exalted now in the heavens. That your glory fills this place. Alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names, be exalted.
Praying in the altar, please continue to do so. And I'm so glad you were here today. And can you just celebrate what God has done? Amen. Six people gave their hearts to Jesus today. Come on, amen. I am so thankful for what the Lord is doing here, and I'm thankful for you and you being used by God to be a blessing to others. If you have not had a chance to get involved, plugged in somewhere, you can find us at Next Steps or just find out when the next North Life class is. We'd love for you to get plugged in a life group and a serving opportunity as well. And if you've got some questions too, if you've made a recent decision to follow Jesus Christ or just got some questions, we've got members of our Grow team that will be down here. They can answer some questions for you. If you want to get plugged in, they can also help you as well. So if you've got a couple of questions, we'd love to answer those questions along the way. I am so thankful for you and hope that on your way out, don't forget, you can take pictures outside in one of the picture photo ops and also the photo booth, not photo ops. You're a photo op right now, right? So, but also out front, if you want to try your hand or your foot at kicking a field goal, go ahead, all right? But hope you have a wonderful, fantastic afternoon. Don't forget, next week, we're on missions mobilization, talking about going on our short-term mission trips and starting those up again. I hope you'll be a part of that. Jacob Persley is going to be with us, and we're so excited about him being here. You're going to hear a few things about what God is doing around the world, and we're just so excited about that. And go ahead and mark your calendars 2 weeks from today. Okay, one of my very best friends and our pastor emeritus, Dr. Mark Walker, is going to be with us that Sunday. And so excited about him being back with us. And I can't wait to see him, spend some time with him. And I know he's going to bring a great word. Before you go today, let me have the privilege of blessing you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Let's give our response from Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God bless you, folks. Love you. Have a great day.